when young David killed Goliath, he was probably about the age of some of you, he became a hero in Israel. And he also became an object of jealousy for King Saul. At least 10 times Saul tried to kill David. Finally, David had to leave the country as an outlaw, running for his life. He wound up in the court of King Abimelech in the city of Gath in Philistia. Well, Gath had been the hometown of Goliath. And it wasn't too long before someone recognized David. He was about to be trapped in the court of Goliath's king. So David pretended he was insane. He drooled on his beard and acted like a harmless fool. And the king sent him away. He went, alone and friendless, to a cave called Adullam. And there he wrote, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So here is David, sitting in a cave, calling himself a poor man. No turkey, no cranberries, no pumpkin pie. But the Lord had saved him out of all his troubles. Apparently, some of those lacks that he did sustain were no longer troubles to him. Oh, the blessings of the man who takes refuge in him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. We've often heard the phrase, especially at this time of year, count your blessings. But for the child of God, that is really quite impossible. Our blessings include the exceeding riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. We may as well try to count the heartbeats of our eternal life in Christ. Our blessings also include an innumerable company of angels, not just at our side, but all around us, walking with Christ. There's nowhere we can turn. In a Philistine court, or alone in a cave, without being helped and delivered, literally pulled out of trouble. Similarly, a few weeks ago, when we pondered the feeding of the 5,000, we saw Jesus take 5 loaves. We would probably call them biscuits. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. 5 biscuits and 2 diminutive fish. The disciples were thinking, "What is that among so many? It's nothing. We've got nothing." Yet the Lord picked up this paltry meal and gave thanks. It was so striking that in recounting the events of the next day, John later writes, "Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks." So many people in this world cannot have a good Thanksgiving without a table groaning under an overload of foods. Time and again, the newsmen report, "And so-and-so did not have a happy Thanksgiving today because they had no turkey and no money to buy one." Or perhaps some misfortune happened to them, a fire, accident. So they must put off their thanksgiving, we're told, until they're back on their feet again. But while the 5,000 did enjoy the Lord's blessings until they had eaten their full, we may also be so blessed once again this year. But at the same time, our life is not determined by such outward circumstances. We do not need to live under these circumstances. The Lord lifts us above them, for our life is hidden with Christ in God. Jesus gave his life on the cross that we might have a better life, a life everlasting, a life forgiven of all our sins. And no famine, no starvation, no danger, no cold, no heat, no pain, no bullet, no bomb can touch that life in Jesus our Savior. We Christians really can rejoice in the Lord at all times. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, whose mercy endures forever. Hymn 785.